So once again, I am sitting in the studio of Kol HaLashon BiYerushalayim to record this shiur. And it's just trying to close my eyes and imagine, trying to see your faces, and I terribly miss my Echai V'Re'ai, my Yedidim and Talmidim. Sunday night, Kahal Chasidim in Rechavia. Monday night in the Dutch Shul, Rechov Shaul Zanan Har Nof. Tuesday night, the huge crowd in the huge Shul Teferes Tzvi, Bayit Vegan. Wednesday night, that's the oldest shiur. It goes back, I think, more than 30 years. Many, many, many years. Yotzei Chevron, Simtata Ari in Bnei Brak. And to the shiur in Bnei Brak, people come very early to catch a seat because Bismedesh isn't big enough to accommodate the crowd. Achrin Chovev, Thursday night in my shul in Ramot. So I miss you all terribly. And I hope that Bekorov, who knows when, we will once again be able to come together on both the Midrashis. To a large degree, it depends on us. The more we will be serious about following the rules and regulations, there's a chance we will win this battle, and we will be able, the Korev, to come together and learn in a normal fashion. I prefer sitting next to the Aron Kodesh in my shul than sitting in a studio. It's the best we could do. And I profoundly thank Kol HaLashon for giving us this amazing ability and opportunity. But we would all very much prefer to meet each other in shul. So I once again beg and plea with everyone, follow the rules, do your best, cover your face, keep social distancing, disinfect and wash your hands, and daven and daven and daven, and let's pray and hope that this will be over Bekorev. The shiur today is a profound sugya, and I will do my utmost best to try to make it as clear as possible. But it's really a sugya amuka, a yeshivish sugya and a halachic sugya as well. So what we're discussing today is tnai and umdana. In this week's parsha, we learn the story of Bnei Gad u Bnei Reuven that came before Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, "We have herds of animals, so we would like to stay be'ever hayardin, in the fertile fields of the plateaus and the valleys." And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Will you let your brethren, the other Shvotim, fight the battles and you will stay there?" They said, "No, Chas v'Shalom, it's not what we meant. We will spearhead the battles. We will be the scouts. We will fight just like everyone else. But ultimately, when we all will be victorious, we would like our homes to be Ma'eva Liyarden." And then Moshe makes a tenai. "Im tasu nesadovar hazeh, then you will have your nachli or achuzah ma'eva liyarden. Ve'im loy tasu nkein v'chotosem la'ashem." It is from this posuk that we learn that we need a tenai kofful. And if the tenai is not a tenai kofful, it isn't valid. And all the other halachas of Tanai we learn from Tanai, Bnei God u Bnei Reuven. Tosfos Kedushin Vav Amud Beis Mem Tes Amud Beis Tshuvas Arosh Siman Lamed Daled. And it's also a psak in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Zayin Chosh Mishpat, once again Reish Mem Vav and Chosh Mishpat. Sometimes we don't even need a Tanai at all. Sometimes it is enough just Gilui Das. Just if the person mentions what his intention is, that is enough to be mevatel the kinyan, to invalidate the kinyan. So when do we need a tanai? When do we need gilui das? And when do we not even need gilui das, just we rely on umdana? So let me make a very short introduction. The concept of umdana, same word, but it has two different meanings in Chazal and in the Poskim. And this is a very common phenomenon in Shas and in Halacha. In many sources, I can't go into this at length, I'm just mentioning Shavuos Lamed Aleph, Shavuos Mem Vav, Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin. Many sources, umdana is what we call in the modern language circumstantial evidence. The story of Shimon ben Shotach. He saw a man chasing another with a sword in his hand. They rushed into an abandoned house. Shimon ben Shotach arrived 10 seconds later, and he sees a horrible scene. Person is breathing his last breaths, his throat slashed open, dying. And the one holding the sword is dripping blood. Reb Shimon ben Shotach tells to the Ratzeach, to the murderer, I could assume what happened, but I have no evidence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of all the rest. And then the person perished in a short while. A venomous snake killed him. That is called umdana. And there are many different examples of umdana. That is umdana number one, circumstantial evidence. Umdana number two, Ksuvah Samaches Amadalav Bavabasa Kuf Mevav Mun Beis, is reasonable assumption when we need to assess and evaluate what did a person have in mind when he signed the document, signed the contract, made a kinyan. What did he have in mind? That is also called umdana. But that is the umdana trying to assess, evaluate, and assume what people have in mind. That is umdana number two. Today we're dealing only with umdana number two. Not even the entire spectrum of umdana number two, because in umdana number two there are also two different situations. One is, how do we assess the intention of a person in certain circumstances? Hakoysev kol nachosev leishtoi loy asoa ela apetropos. Person writes a document that he gives all his possessions to his wife. Chazal maintain it's totally unreasonable, totally unlikely that a person has children and he would leave them nothing and give everything to his wife. So we assume that his intention was to give her authority over his possessions until his demise, until she passes away. But it's not a kinyan gamur. That is one aspect of umdana. The other aspect of umdana is the only one we will be dealing with today is when a person does a proper kinyan and then circumstances dramatically change and we assume that under these new circumstances he probably wouldn't do what he did and he wouldn't promise what he promised. That is umdana number two. And that is relevant. So the question is, how do Tanai and Umdana interact? When do we need a Tanai Gomur, Tanai Kofel? When don't we need a Tanai at all? So Toises Kedushin Vav Amid Beis, Mem Tes Amid Beis, Derosh, as well as he have mentioned, and many other Rishonim say, sometimes all we need is Gilui Das, and sometimes we don't even need Gilui Das. The two most striking examples are, one is a Gemara Kedusha Mem Tes Amid Beis. A person sold all his possessions, his house, his car, everything, because he planned to move to Israel with Nefesh Ben Nefesh. And then something changed in his personal life, personal circumstances, and he's not moving to Israel. So he wants his stuff back. Chazal say, Dvorim Shebelev Elam Dvorim. The person that bought his house could argue, why should I believe you that the reason you sold the house is you want to move? Maybe you sold the house for for different reasons. Why am I obliged to give the house back? Tosfos argues, it is only because he didn't say that he's selling the house because he wants to move. But if he would have made that clear, even though he wouldn't stipulate, he didn't make it as a condition in the transaction, Gilui Das would be enough to enable him to turn the clock back and to invalidate the Kenyan and to take his house back. Sometimes we don't even need a Gilui Das. That's the case in Ksubis Mem Zayin Amid Beis. So a person signed a ksuba to his kala. And tragically, the chosen passed away before the wedding. It's a machlokes tanoi. But the halacha is, she does not get to sefes ksuba. Anan sa'adi shalai kosav la elo al menas lekansa. She gets the basic ksuba, which is a tekonas chachomem, bein la'arusa, bein le'nesua. But if he added and promised another $1 million, it is clear to us that if he would know that he's going to die before the wedding, he wouldn't do that. And therefore, it's part of his inheritance and it goes to his family. So Tosfos brings this in as an example. Sometimes we say, Anan Sahad, and you don't even need to make it Tanai. So the question is, when? When do we need a Tanai Kofel? When is Gilui Das enough, and when you don't even need Gilui Das? Goine Basroi, primarily the great Talmidim of Rab Chaim Brisker, Rab Shimon Ar Balchanan, deal at great length in their forum. Why do we need a Tanai Kofel? How do we understand this halacha? If a person made any stipulation, any condition in a Kenyan, isn't it clear that this is his intention? So why do we actually need the formula of a Tanai with all its details, Tanai Kofel, Tanai Koidim Lamaisa, and why wouldn't we simply say, this is his Kavana? And the Aleph Beis, the essence, the Neshama of every Kenyan is Gemar Das. We know that from many sources and Shas, Gemar Das Mitzada Makna, Smichus Das Mitzada Koina. So if a person stipulated that I want to be Mekadosh a woman, al menashe titin musayim ziz, and I want to sell you a house on the condition that you're going to give me a gift every Rosh Hashanah, and those conditions aren't fulfilled, then why don't we simply say there's a lack of kavana? The way I wrote this up, and it's not a Torah Chadosha, you know, I just use my language and my words. But I think it is fundamentally more or less what Rabbi Chanan and Rabbi Shimon have in mind. But regardless of who says what, I think Yesoid HaDovar. And this question is asked first by the Rashba on Gittin Dafayin Hay. And what I say might fit in to the Rashba's teres, his response. But there are two ways to understand the essence of Tanai. Number one, if not for the din of Tanai that we learn from B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, we would have reason to doubt. Yes, he stipulated al menase titin li musayim zuz, but we're not 100% sure and convinced that he really wants this kiddushin to depend on those lousy $200. Person shouldn't be mekadosh an issue for money, definitely not for musayim zuz. So we might question his intention. Maybe he just wanted to squeeze out another $200, but it doesn't really mean that if he's not going to get those $200, then he regrets and he doesn't want the kiddushin. But if that is the Tanai is binding. That is what we learn from B'nai Gilda B'nai Reuven. But it is only the Tanai is kekol proteo v'digdokeo. But if not for the din Tanai, we would have reason to doubt, does he really mean it? So there are many types of tanoim, primarily in Masechet Kedushin. Al menashe yirtza ab, al menashe yirtzo vich, al menashe titli mesayim ziz, al menashe sheyeridu gishom amayoyim. You know, so many different tanoim, and not always is the tnai so convincing and so fundamental and so shayach legufon shel devarim. So it is in those cases that we definitely need a tnai. But when we are thoroughly convinced that the entire motive and rationale of this kinyan is lacking, that we don't need a tnai. So if a person clearly said to his neighbors, to his friends, to the purchaser, I'm selling my house because I plan to move to Israel, it's my dream since I was a kid, and then circumstances change and he's not moving, and we are thoroughly convinced that it's a beautiful house, he's been living there for 20 years, and if he cannot move to Israel, he definitely wouldn't want to sell the house. In that case, it's so compelling that there's no need for a tanai. And sometimes there's not even a need for gilui das, and that is example number 3. When a chosan eagerly waits to marry his kala, and he promises her riches, and then tragically he passes away, Chazal say, we assume that all those obligations and promises were based on the premise that Be'ezes Hashem they will build a bayis ne'emon b'Yisrael otherwise, and therefore those promises and those obligations are void and we invalidate them. So that would be my basic approach, but maybe we delve a bit deeper into this sugya, and there's room to argue that it's not that we question his intentions. No. If a person made a stipulation, we assume he is serious about it. But maybe his seriousness is irrelevant. Maybe the kavana that is required to give life to a kinyan is only gemardas beguf hadavor. But it is not within the power to tie in kiddushin or kinyan to things that aren't really related to the essence of this transaction. So if a person says, Haret mekadeshes li almanah sheyirtze abba, almanah shetitnu li mesayim zuz, it's not the natural state of things that a person wants to engage a woman and marry her for $200. So it's not that we question his intention. Yes, if this is what he said, this is what he meant, but he's crazy. And therefore we say, we totally disregard that intention. The kavana that is essential to give life to a kinyan is only the kavana beguf hakinyan. So if the woman happens to have an awful mum, blemish, disease, that would be a question of Kedushin Tois. By Kedushin Tois, we don't need a tanai. But there's nothing wrong with the Kedushin. He finds nothing troubling with his wife. She is exactly the one he wanted to marry. But he's not getting those $200. It's not that we question the sincerity of his stipulation. If this is a stipulation, he's out of his mind. But if not for the din tanai, which is a chidush shel Torah, we would disregard that stipulation and we would say, all that is required is sincerity for the etzem kiddushin, and he cannot tie the validity of the kiddushin into demands that are not shayach l'guf ha'devarim. Those would be the two different interpretations and approaches which I would explain the need for mishpatei tanoim, for the details of tanoim. There's a big machlokes between the greatest of achroinim, two against two, different generations. On one hand, Rabbi Kiva Egan, the Hafla, the greatest gedolim of their time. Against the Beis Halevi and the Or HaSameach, much younger than their Balei Plukta. They once again were contemporaries. So the Afra was somewhat older than Rabbi Akiva Eger, and the Beis Halevi was somewhat older than the Ohr Sameach. So Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Afra argue that every Mekechtos is based on the din of Tanai, and therefore, Tova Shiev shall associate a dear Shliach Shem Butnai Kimavu Beksubistai and Dalad Medalaf Embo Mekechtos. Because Mekechtos, a Mekadish Shuishu Venimso Bo Mumin, O Shinimso Boy Mumin, person made a purchase, and there's a mumbe mekach. He brought a car, and the car has a broken motor. Doesn't have a carburetor. I don't know. It has tires, old tires. Mumbe mekach, mekach tos, according to the Bekiveg and the Aflo, that is medin tenai. The Beis Halevi and the Ohr Sameach says has nothing to do with nai. It's a mumbe mekach. According to my understanding, who am I? But I think the Beis Halevi and the Ohr Sameach are right. Yayin v'nimtza chomitz is a striking example. And in Minchas Osher Tshuvos, in various different sources, I explained, when there's a mum b'mekach, the person that was cheated, or maybe he wasn't intentionally cheated, but the person who's losing out has the right to be mevatel the kinyan. He has a right to invalidate the kinyan. But he also has the privilege of saying, okay, it's not exactly what I wanted, but I want it anyway, because I got a good price. Yayin v'nim tzachoymetz, the kinyan is botel me'elav. And if he doesn't make a new kinyan, then it's not his. Because yayin v'nim tzachoymetz, you bought wine, you didn't buy vinegar. It's like a guy buying a car, and instead of giving a car, he gets a sack of potatoes. Or instead of giving a car, the guy brings him a horse. But I bought a car and not a horse. Yayin v'nim tzachoymetz is not like nimtza boimum. Yayin v'nim tzachoymetz, the kinyan isn't chal. Nimtza mum, the person has a privilege, the right to be mevatel the kinyan and to backtrack. So I think mekach tos is doimet feili yayin v'nim tzachoymetz, not ladin tenai. But in our ladder, in our Richter scale, we have two more cases to fit in. Top of the list is yayin v'nim tzachoymetz. That's not a kinyan at all. One notch down, mekachtos. Another notch down, umdene. One more, gilui das. Umdene and gilui das are closely related. The one is the chosn that died before the chasana. That's umdene that needs no gilui das. The other one is the guy that sold his house because he wants to move to Israel. In these two cases, there is no deficiency beguf ha-mekach. It's not like mekachtos. I bought a new car and I was given a used one. I was Mekadosh's wife, but I didn't know she has some psychiatric issues. If I would have known, I would have thought twice. Or the other way around. I wanted to marry a normal person. I didn't know that he's violent or chas v'sholem, different things. So bitul mekach, there's a deficiency beguf adovar. When we talk about umdene, the problem is in the motive, in the rationale, in the motivation. The only reason I wanted to sell the house is because I planned on moving to Israel. The only reason I promised my car $1 million is because I very much hope to build a house together and raise a family together and marry her. So in these cases, there's no deficiency beguf kinyan. It is only changing circumstances that enable to invalidate the kinyan. Is that medin tenai? Or is that also more similar to yayin v'nim tzachoymetz? Regarding mekachtos, I think the Beis Halevi is right. Regarding umdenai, would be more close to Rabbi Akiva Eger's approach. And I would say this is more similar to dinei tenai. So up to this point, I just try to analyze and explain the essence of Tanai, Umdena, Mekachtos Yain Veninza Chaimitz. From this point on, we deal with a profound halachic controversy that has huge implications, halacha lamais. So most of the shiurim I've been giving in recent months are somewhat related to the coronavirus. Today's shiur as well. I wrote many tshuvas. I hope in the very near future, in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have a new Minchas Osher on Corona. And it's going to be an amazing sefer, more than 300 pages. I've been in such a rush in the past few months, just writing and writing and writing. So this sefer will have some shiurim, I said, many letters I wrote, shmus, and I said, divrei chizuk, and most of it will be tshuvas halacha lamaisa. So one section of that sefer will be in Din HaMamonos. So one of the questions that were asked by hundreds and thousands in this period is, people that planned chasanas and bar mitzvahs in wedding halls and in halls and different sites, and all the plans were dashed because of the coronavirus and because of the government lockdowns. So those halls that already got a down payment, do they give that money back to the people that just couldn't fulfill their plans, couldn't move forward, and all these chasanas just couldn't take place? Or people that gave a down payment for tiulim or for excursions or vacations. So people paid 6 months in advance to a cruise, to an African safari, to a hotel in the Alps, and once again, everything changed. So do they get their money back? This is associated with the coming 15 minutes of our shiur. So Toises and Ksuvis Mem Zayinu Medveis, and that's the sugya of Achos and Orus Shemeis, Loikosav La Ela Almanas Lekonso. Toises asks a very simple question. Person sold a cow. The cow dropped dead 5 minutes after the purchaser paid for it. The purchaser says, I want my money back. I would never buy the cow that'll drop dead 5 minutes later. The moicha says, I don't bear any responsibility. When I sell a cow, I don't give a guarantee, a 1 year or 2 year guarantee. I don't do repairs, and I bear no responsibility. This was a totally healthy cow. A Kodesh Bucha took away its neshama as you took possession. I bear no responsibility. Toises asks, why cannot the purchaser backtrack? Just like the Chosin says, he doesn't say, but his inheritors say, he didn't promise that money only as he planned, if he would be zeichut to marry his kala. So why can't the purchaser say, I didn't pay for this cow on the condition that I will have no money and no cow? So if I would know that the cow would drop dead 5 minutes later, I wouldn't pay, so I want my money back. Toisvis, Ksuvis Mem Zayin Amid Beis, Shita Mekabetzis quotes the same from the Rosh. There are two sides to this story. So the purchasers say, if I would know this cow would die, I wouldn't buy it. But the seller would say, if you would stipulate that I need to take responsibility, what will happen to the cow? No, I would never agree. I would never agree. So I wouldn't give you the cow. So there are two sides to this coin, and Taisa says, we do not rely on umdana when it depends on the goodwill of the other party. It depends on the consent of the other party. Mishnah HaMelech Perek Vav of Hilchas Chiya says, I don't understand. Between the Chosan and the Kala, there are also two sides to the story. It's not one-sided. The chosan promises whatever he promises to the kala, and the kala agrees to get married. So, in that case, there are also two sides, and we do go bosa umdana. When a person sold his house, and he said he wants to move to Israel, there are also two sides to the story. So now he wants to regret, and the aloha is, If he made it clear that the reason he's selling his house because he plans to move to Israel, then he could backtrack and he could invalidate that kinyan. Well, there's a purchaser, and the purchaser probably is not happy to give back that house. So what's the difference? What does Tosfos say? There are six different interpretations, and each of them has halachic ramifications. The Mishnah Lamelech says something that's very mistaver, very reasonable. The Mishnah Lamelech says, when you sell a cow, and the cow dropped dead, and the lokeach, the purchaser, wants to pull back, then there is monetary loss to the seller. And the seller says, no, I do not agree. I never promised you that the cow will live forever. So there's a hefsed moment to the moicher. Lo yazlina bosa umdene. But when this person promised this cow $1 million, she's not losing anything. She's once again open for different shidduchim. She stands where she stood before, tragically, profoundly sad. They both planned to build a house together, a bayis nema b'yisrael, and lovingly live forever after. But she has no monetary loss. And therefore, aslinan bosa umdena. The same when a person sold his house because he planned to move to Israel. So all we say is you get your house back and you get your money back. Well, it's not the way you planned. You bought this house because you like the house. But after all, you're getting your money back. You're not losing anything. But when a person sells a cow and the cow drops dead and the purchaser wants to impose on the seller, give my money back and you have neither money nor a cow, that is monetary loss. Lo yazlinan bosa umdena. Then a Sivis Reish Lamed Siv Koton Aleph takes this a step further and he says, it's a gemara mefureshes in Ksubis that if they did marry and the chosen tragically died one day later, then she doesn't have to give the money back and she gets those $1 million. So then a Sivis says, the havim enough choices that the loikeach could say, I want my money back when the cow dies, is only if the cow died immediately after the purchase, before the loikeach even had a chance to do something with the animal that he bought. But if he took the animal into his possession and he plowed his field and a month later the cow dies, milsa de pshita that he can't retract. But how long? Forever? That I give you a guarantee that this cow will live 100 years. So that's chiddush number 2 in the Sivis Reish Lamed Siv Koton Aleph. Noi de biyudu madura kami yorodeh min samech tes writes 3 chiddushim. And all these chiddushim come to reconcile Shuvas Arash with Tosfos. I just want to stress, Tosfos Ksuvos Mem Zayin is also the Rosh on this spot in Shitta Mekabetzes. So it's not only a discrepancy between Tosfos and Shuvas Arash, it would be a contradiction between the Rosh in Shitta and the Rosh in the Shuvas. Siman Lamed Daled. The Rosh deals with the question of a Shiruch. And between the engagement and the planned wedding, the grandfather of the Kala just left the fold, left Yiddishkeit, v'yotzeh l'tar v'sroh. I do not recall whether he converted to Christianity. I don't recall. But he left the fold. And the chassan and his family were extremely embarrassed and hurt, and they want to pull out and be mavatel l'shidduch. And the Noi de Biyudah says, yes, they are entitled to do so. And he quotes the Rosh. The Rosh deals with a similar case in which the sister of the Kala left the fold. And the Rosh says, the chosen has a right to back out. Why? Umdene. So the Noi de Biyudah asks, but there are two sides to the coin. Two sides. So why does the Rosh paskin that the chosen could pull out? Noi de Biyudah offers 3 drachim to reconcile the sugi and ksubis with the story of the Rosh. Number 1. Depends on reciprocity. Is it hadadi? So when the purchaser of a cow argues, I want to back out because the cow died, we need to try to evaluate, to guess. If the purchaser would stipulate with the moicher, if the cow will die, I want my money back, the seller would say, no way. Look for another fryer, as they say in Eretz Yisrael. I give no guarantees. It's a risk you take. It's a risk every purchaser take. You buy an animal, you take the risk. Animals, sooner or later, might die. But if the chosn would stipulate with the kala, if anything like this happens in your family, I want out, the kala probably would respond, okay, it's your right. But it goes the other way around too. So if your Zaidi will convert, or your sister is gonna go berserk, then I also have the entitlement to back out. So it's reciprocal. Both sides. Aslina bosa umdene. Suggestion number one of the Noidi Biyuda. Number two. Umdene cannot invalidate a purchase that was tam venishlam. You bought a cow. You took the cow. You stay with it. But when we're dealing with a future obligation, then umdene is valid. So they were engaged with plans to get married, but they're not married yet. So we do base on umdene and give the entitlement to back out of a future obligation. Number three, the Noid Yehuda merely argues there's a difference between an umdene gedoyla and an umdene that's not an umdene gedoyla. So we assume, and obviously it depends on the norms of the time. I'm not sure our psak would be the same today. To our dismay, so many kids leave the fold. It's almost a plague. But in days of yore, it was a huge embarrassment to the family. So that's a umdene gedoyla. But when a person buys a cow, we fairly assume it's a risk that every purchaser takes upon himself. And that's not a very convincing umdene, and that is why lo yazlinan bosa umdene. Chem de shloim heaven has a samach beis yud zayin, adds on another touch and another knach. It's more or less in the direction of the Noid Biyuda. And the Chem de shloim says, if the purchaser of the cow would stipulate and he would say, you know, I want you to be responsible. If the cow is going to die, I want my money back. Then the seller probably would say, okay, then pay another $500. It's a different price. If you know, when you buy a fridge, you buy a cell phone, you buy anything, and you have two options. You can have a 10-year guarantee or a 6-month guarantee. You pay more for a 10-year guarantee. So the moicher probably would say, okay, you want me to take the risk upon myself, then pay another $500, another $1,000. So we assume there's a good reason that the lokeach, the purchaser, didn't make that stipulation, because he didn't want to pay that extra money. But when we're dealing with a stipulation that's not derech masa umaten, it's not derech hameschar, it's not part of business deals, then we do rely on umdene. So when we come back to our question, a person ordered a wedding call and happened what happened, and COVID-19 struck the world, and there's no chasana, and I have no benefit out of this. Does he have the right to say, I want my money back? And my psak is definitely yes. Because according to the Mishnah Melech, there's no direct monetary loss to the owner of the hall, because I notified you 2 months, 3 months in advance. You didn't have any direct expenses associated with my chasana. I know you need to pay a mortgage, you need to pay workers, you need to maintenance of the building, but that has nothing to do with me. The fact that I'm regretting, I'm not causing you monetary loss. You're going to have a lack of income, but that is not monetary loss. And therefore, yes, he has the right to backtrack. According to the Nesivis, well, I got nothing yet. The Nesivis says that it's only later that he can backtrack. I got nothing yet. It's still 3 months before the chasana. According to Noi de Biyuda, well, this stipulation might go both sides. So, the Chosen of the Kala's family would stipulate, but if something will happen, some global thing that we can't make a chasana, then we will mourn our money back. So maybe the guy that runs the hall would say, but if something happens and you can't make it to the chasana, but it has nothing to do with me, then you will need to pay in full. So it is reciprocal. Approach number two of the Noida Biyuda. Om then I can't invalidate the kinyan that was already made, but it does pater future obligations. This is a future obligation. And it definitely is an umdene gedoyle, and therefore I feel yes. So the owner of the hall needs to give the money back to the family in its entirety. Would I say the same regarding tiulim, summer vacations? I don't think so, because usually the people that run these plans, whether it's a cruise or a safari or just a tiul, have a lot of expenses many months in advance. They need to order hotel rooms. They need to care about transportation and about boats and vehicles and provisions. And usually these expenses are many months in advance. And therefore, I think we need to compromise in those cases. And it is reasonable that the people that ordered those tiulim should, bearing in mind that they did cause direct expenses and there is monetary loss, direct monetary loss, I think in those cases we need to have a compromise. So today we discussed a very relevant halachic issue, and it's a profound sugya, the sugya of Tnai, Umdana, and Bitul Mekach. I tried my best to clarify the concepts. So we have entered the 3 weeks of Avelus of mourning, in which we are to remember and mourn Churban Beis Mikdoshenu V'Sifarteinu. If we would be sitting in the same Beis Medesh, I would probably turn to you and quote a Mamre Chazal, Kol Dor Shalai Nivne Beis HaMikdosh B'Yamav, and I would say to you, could anybody continue this Mamre Chazal? And I'm sure that everyone in chorus would say, Ke'ilu Chorav B'Yamav, and I would respond, no. That's nowhere to be found. That's not a Mamre Chazal. And it ain't. For some reason, it's what everybody quotes. But what Chazal do say is far more troubling and far more demanding. It's a Yerushalmi in Yom Edafei, Kol Dor Shulanivne Beis HaMikdash B'Yomav Malan Olav Keilu Hu Hechrivo. So when we say Keilu Chorav B'Yomav, we say it happened during our lifetime. It transpired. It didn't happen. Didn't transpire. Somebody did it. So mom leaves the house just for 5 minutes. And she tells her children, I'm going down to the grocery store. I need to buy some milk for your Cheerios. 5 minutes and I'll be back. She's back in 5 minutes. The beautiful flower top shattered. The window broken out. The floor is full of water and glass. And as mom steps into the room, all the children together, Peach would say, the window suddenly broke out. And the flower pot just fell off the table. And mom says, no, windows don't fall out and flower tops don't jump off tables. Somebody did it. And I would like to know who is that somebody. So it's far more easy to say, Kilu Chorav B'Yomav, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it didn't just transpire. Someone did it. And I want to know who. So who did it? I, you, each and every one of us. Malen olav ki'ilu hu hechrivo. And if we bear responsibility for the churban, then we are the ones that bear responsibility for the binyan. Rashi and Tosis 3 times in Shas. Sometimes Sukkah Mem Aleph, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis, Shavuos Tes Vav. Say that the Bayis HaShlishi will descend Eish Men HaShomayim. So the reason we don't have a Beis HaMikdash is only because we're not fitting to have one. If it would be fitting to have one, we would have one. And if we don't deserve to have one, that means if we would have a Beis HaMikdash this morning, probably it would be destroyed by this afternoon. And therefore Chazal say, yes, you bear responsibility. And if you bear responsibility for the destruction, it is you that need to rebuild. So how do we rebuild? How do we build a Beis HaMikdash b'Shamayim? How? What are the means? Moiri v'Rabbi, the great Kreuzenberger Rebbe, used to tell a story, and he heard this from him tens of times, maybe hundreds of times. The great Divrei Chaim, the founder of the Tzanz dynasty, was once sitting by the Tish, and he was Ochuz Sarapim, fire. And suddenly he speaks up and he says, I'm looking up at the heavens and I see the Beis Mikdash is finished. Everything is in place. Only the Paroichus is missing. One of the Zikne Achasidim, who was a Rebbe himself, couldn't control himself, and he cried out, so why doesn't the Rebbe do the Paroichus? The Divrei Chaim was shocked and he said, and why do you think I didn't do the Paroichus? I did. And a Roshe came by Arza Samarav and he tore it to shreds. So sam velo piresh. What a story. What we learn from this story, there's a world war going up there around the Beis HaMikdash. Some of us build and the others destroy. Chassidim v'yanshe ma'isa, with their Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chassodim, build. There are others that tear apart, that tear asunder. How does one build? How does one destroy? I assume that the way we build the Klei HaMikdash is the mitzvahs that are associated with those kelim. So this thought I spoke about many times. It's a popular theme in my shiurim. The entirety of Avodas HaMikdash centers around three kelim, and all the others are supplementary. Menorah, Mizbeach, Shulchan, Keneged Ma. Menorah is associated with Torah, Kiner Mitzvah v'Torah Or. Goes without saying the Mizbechos. Both the Mizbech HaPnimi and Mizbech HaChitzen are associated with Avoida. All the Karbonis, the sacrifices, were on the Mizbech HaChitzen. Tfilo is Keneged Karbonis Tiknum. The Tfilo is associated with Korban, Brochas Chavava Midbeis. Mizbech HaPnimi is Ktoiris. Posek Adilim, Tikoin Tfilosi Ktoiris Lefonecho Masas Kapai Minchas Orev. So the way to build the Menoides with Torah, the way to build the Mizbechos is with Avoida, and goes without saying, the Shulchan is Gemilas Chasodim. Chagig Yechov Zayin Umedalev, Shulchan is Shaloda Mechaper. It's also a Gemor and Zvochem, both Rashi and Taisva say. Shulchan is Chesed. And what about the Oren and Kodesh HaKodeshim? Definitely associated with Torah. What is the Oren? Luchas HaBris and a Sefer Torah. That is how we could rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Maran Olav, Kiruhu Achrivo, the one that destroyed, is the one that need to fix. We don't have a Divrei Chaim today to update us. So what's happening up there? What are they missing now? Is it the Paroichus once again? How would we know? But a contemporary of the Divrei Chaim was the Rebbe of Kamarna, Heichal HaBrocha. He was one of the greatest Kabbalim, Mikubolim, in the history of Hasidus. He was a Talmud of that, Teres Tzvi. And if you're familiar with the teachings of the great Hasidus Rabbeim, Zedechoiv Kamarna is Kabbalah. And the Kamarna, Rabbi Isaac of Kamarna, wrote many svarim. He was a Goan Olam Benigla, one of his most magnificent svarim is Asilas Oifan Torah's Koyanim, but he wrote many svarim. And Heichal HaBrocha, he writes that in the end of days, it is the Oroin that will be Ma'akev the Geula. It is Aroinu Edis that will be the last of the Klei Migdash to finally be built. So it is the Oroin. That is what he teaches us. How do we build the Oroin? Torah. And even more Torah. For some reason we think we're so great. And we constantly hear from our Rabbonim and Rosh Hashivas that never before was there such a magnificent generation of Talmidei Chachamim and Torah. I wish to defer. If we would be so great, the Mashiach would be here. He's not here. I think we could do far more. I remember a year and a half ago, I spoke at my wife's first Yahrzeit. We had a huge kinnus in Yerushalayim. And I complained about the fact I think there are still thousands amongst us that are not Kovei Eitim L'Torah. Yes, we have an unbelievable generation of Bnei Torah, of Masmidim, of Lamdonim. Obviously, it's not enough. There are still so many amongst us that are not Koveya Itim L'Torah. And even those that do learn, me and you and all the others, we could all learn more. We could all do more, much more. And obviously, it's not enough. If the Oron is waiting for us, that means we need more Torah. And the Heichal HaBrocha fits in beautifully with the Or HaChaim in Parshas Tetzaveh. At the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, Golas Mitzrayim was 400 years. In practicality, it was 210 years. Golas Bavel was 70 years. So why is it that this last Golas is already almost 2,000 years? Why is that, if we could understand? And the Or HaChaim brings an astonishing Zoya. And the Zoya says, we are redeemed from each Golas in the merit of one of the Oves Olam. We were zoiche to Geulas Mitzrayim b'schus Avraham Avinu. We were zoiche to Geulas Yavon in the schus of Yitzchak. And we came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael in the schus of Yankov. It is only in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu that we will be zoiche to the Geulah Shalema. V'Moshe Rabbeinu einoi chofetz ligoil am habatlonim min ha-toyla. Shocking words. And whenever I quote this Or HaChaim, I say, it can't be. Can't be. One cannot say, Moshe Rabbeinu einoi chofetz ligoil. Moshe Rabbeinu einoi chofetz ligoil. Is that the same Moshe Rabbeinu that said, Mecheninu mesifrcha? Moshe Rabbeinu that says, Moshe Rabbeinu that loved and cherished. I think what we need to explain is Moshe Rabbeinu eino yochoi ligo el ama batlona min ha-Torah. Of course he wants to. If we could look up at the heavens, we would see Moshe Rabbeinu begging and pleading and crying. Kendalach, kendalach. Give me some more Torah. I could bring the Geula, but it's up to you. I could bring Moshiach, but it's up to you. What do I need from you? The Oroin. We need to finish up the Oroin. More Torah. More Kviyas Itum. More Harbotzes Torah. More love. More Aves Torah. More Shashua Shal Torah. More Yegiyas HaTorah. Torah Enoch Torah. And even more Torah. And that is the only way to finish the Oroin. Moshe Rabbeinu Chafetz Ligoil. Let us give him the tools. Let us finish the job. Let us come back to the Gemara. Another shir and another shir. Another daf and another daf. Whether it's daf yoimi or whatever it may be. Taira. That's the key. So Yerosa, we should be zoicha. Ein Yisroel negolen eilu b'schus talmet Taira shenema gam ki yisanu b'goyem atu akabzeim. Kodesh Baruch Hu should send us Mashiach tzedkenu v'yivne lono beis mikdushenu v'sifarteinu. Be Mahero, Viomeno, Amen.